Windows or doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
About that sad story that you reported about Caroline Kennedy's daughter?
Yes, Tatiana.
Tatiana
Schlossberg. Yes, yes. Beautiful young woman with children.
Yeah.
And in addition to the fact that she made this announcement yesterday, the 62nd anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination, her grandfather, she was going under diagnosis for this leukemia the day she gave birth to one of her children.
That's how she found out.
Yeah.
When she gave birth to, I think it was a daughter.
Yes.
I mean, it's heartbreaking, but the piece that she wrote, I think you said it was it the New Yorker? It's online. It's very easy to find. It is heartbreaking, but... What courage.
Oh, absolutely.
That she's demonstrating with this. My heart goes out to that family, to her, to her kids, to her mom, Caroline Kennedy. Can you think of too many more families that have gone through tragedy than,
yes,
than them?
Right. Since World War II, when you think about it.
Yeah.
When the oldest of the Kennedy boys, Joseph, was killed in World War II.
Yep.
Joe Jr.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, nice to start the show off on a cheery
well,
note.
You know, it's one of those things that...
it's life, right?
Yes, and reporting this.
You know, it's something, you know, we wonder what you have to be thankful for. Look around you at everything that's going on, this case and so many other things going on. There's plenty to be thankful for.
Yes, there is.
So, I'm thankful that Tony DeNardis is here.
Tony's with us today doing sports.
This is my first. I don't know. Tony, have you been on the old Sunday show before?
Maybe? I think he was a little while ago.
Yeah, the first time I was on here was when you were at Tree Time.
Ah, yes, the Tree Time show.
Yeah, so back a few weeks ago.
I remember
3 weeks now already.
Well, nice to have you here with us.
Good to be here.
Andy's on the road.
Shawnee behaving in there? That's my biggest thing.
So far.
Usually when we have people filling in, the first thing they do is they come in here and they go, is there anything we can do about Shawnee? He's really bugging me. And all I can say is, welcome to my world for the last 35 years. However, I've got the Wicked Fever, one of the biggest movies of the year, going to be one of the biggest movies of the year.
Have you seen it,
Ben? Yes, of course.
Yeah. We're going to go see it this week.
I don't know if you know that I review movies. So
do you really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Interview these actors in the movies sometimes.
That's very fascinating.
Yeah, thank you.
My goodness, what an interesting job you have. Oh, Mr. Richards, you have the best show in the whole wide world.
I know that. We have the most fun show in the whole wide world.
I believe we do.
That
we're going to go see Wicked this week.
Now, have you seen the stage play?
No. No. We saw the first movie. I don't think Gilda's seen the stage play, but...
Gilda has not seen the stage play?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Her friends have.
She's a theater buff.
She's more than that.
She's an actress.
She's an actress in various theater productions, yes.
But you're not as snotty to her as you are to me. Yeah, but she'd slap you right down if you talked to her like that.
What?
You have the most interesting show. So wait, you did see the first movie?
Saw the first movie,
a
yes.
A year ago.
Right.
Okay.
Loved it.
Good.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing this one.
Yeah, I think
too.
You'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll enjoy it. I gave it a good review overall. I mean, it's not as jubilant as the first one. Everyone's, you know, asking what you think. Is it better? Is it worse? Is it this? Is it that? It is what it is. I mean, it follows the storyline of the stage play, mm-hmm. except it goes a little deeper. And it has time to go a little deeper into some of the characters and subplots and things like that. And by nature, the second half of Wicked is a little darker and more intense than the first half.
Now, can we expect another version of this next year, or are we done?
Wicked 3, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think maybe at some point there might be, but, you know, here's the other thing. The whole premise of Wicked is that it's the pre-story to what happens in the original
Wizard
of Oz movie.
Right. How the Wicked Witch becomes...
how the witches come to be as they are, and as you will discover when you go see the second movie, how many of the other characters from the original movie came to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, there are sort of already is a part three that was done in 1939.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
I love Jeff Goldblum, by the way.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum is a wizard. That's genius cast.
Yeah, yeah.
There could not be anyone better to play the nutty wizard.
Pretty good jazz pianist, too, by the way.
He is. He sure is. So I'm recommending see it on as big a screen as possible. That's number one, because it's beautiful. It's extremely colorful. And the costumes are amazing, and you just want to soak up every inch of that screen when you go see it. But also, if you didn't see the first Wicked a year ago, you're going to be lost with this one, because it's not one of these movies that, you know, explains everything that happens. It picks up from this...
from the end of the other one.
But it doesn't, like, last time we saw blah, blah, blah. That doesn't happen.
When we last left our heroes.
When we last left Elphaba. and it wouldn't hurt to brush up on the original Wizard of Oz, too. Because there are tons of references to the original Wizard of Oz movie that are sprinkled into this one. And you'll just get much more enjoyment that way.
Do you remember what a big deal it was when we were kids when they showed the Wizard of Oz around Easter time, springtime, Sunday night?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So much fun.
That and Sound of Music.
And Sound of
Music.
And
Ten Commandments.
You fellas, Tony, your age, you don't know what you're missing there.
What's television, Uncle Dean?
I'll tell you there, Sonny.
I only watch things on my phone.
yeah, it was a big deal. It was an event.
It sure was.
When Wizard of Oz would come on TV, the original.
Oh, yeah.
It was you stopped everything to watch that movie. I watched it the other night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a black and white TV until, I don't know, when I was in high school. So the color portion.
You missed out on
it. Missed out on it, yeah.
When the movie turned into color.
Right.
You missed out. Well, we didn't get a color TV in our house till like 1994, so.
71 or 72 for us. By the way, you are right, though. To see the Wicked movies on as big a screen as possible. We saw it in 3D IMAX, the first one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little more expensive, but...
it's worth it.
It is
definitely worth it.
I love that Dave has not seen the second half of the play, so he's going to be very surprised.
Right.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Yeah.
No spoilers, Dave.
Yeah. Okay.
They all wind up climbing a mountain, singing Climb Every Mountain.
Oh, that movie becomes a part of this all.
Yeah, I'd like to. Sometimes I get confused and I get the movies mixed up. When Elphaba turns to Galinda and says, how do you solve a problem like Maria?
Does Mr. Potter make an appearance at some point?
They pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. In jail!
Hey, speaking of that, It's a Wonderful Life. We've got our annual visit from the cast of It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago. We're going to come in today.
Excellent.
It's one of my favorite shows of the year.
Are you going to get to do your line too?
Well, they, you know, when we were setting it up, I always do that Mr. Potter line because I like to think that I'm as grumpy as Mr. Potter.
Well, you are.
And despicable.
Yes.
All right. You don't have to agree that much with me on that.
Just saying.
I just love that character. I love that character.
Who was it? Lionel Barrymore?
Lionel Barrymore.
That played
Barrymore.
It in the movie? But Mr. Potter, these people have homes.
Would you like to live in the nicest house in town?
You wouldn't mind a couple trips to Europe every now and then?
Yeah, go home and talk about it with the wife.
Dave, you'd be a good Clarence Oddbody, I think. Yeah. AS2.
Oddbody is true. By the way, that's the voice of Neil, the producer today. He's filling in for Eli, who's, I'm not even sure who's filling in for anybody, but Neil Fisher is producing the show today. So you'll hear him jumping in from time to time.
Another new voice on the show.
Yeah, I go through these producers like socks.
Yeah, you sure do. And then you blame me for it when they leave.
Well,
I had to do a fitness test when I got here, but I made it through.
Yeah. You know, in the exit interview, they always mention something about you. So, yeah, so anywho, we've got the cast of It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago. American Blues Theater puts this on. They're in a brand new theater. It's not brand new. It's like a year old now. But they put on a version of It's a Wonderful Life done like an old-time radio show. And they're terrific, and we always have a lot of fun. And I told them that maybe I shouldn't do the Mr. Potter voice this year.
Oh, you volunteered not to do it?
Yeah. It's not about me.
No.
Unlike everything else on the show, this is not about me.
Look at me. Look at me.
So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. They're going to do some, they do live music in their production. They're going to do some songs. They're going to do, you know, they're bringing on their sound effects person. Their Foley. It's called the Foley.
Oh, person. They're bringing in a Foley for sound effects?
Yeah, the whole sound effects deal.
Wow.
Because this show is also like old-time radio.
Very old time.
I have my shoes over here ready to clock if you need.
Okay, thank you. Let's go over to Fibber McGee's closet. See what's inside.
You know who Fibber McGee was, there, young fella?
What's old-time radio, Uncle Dean?
What else do we have here today? You know, surprises. Got lots of good surprises today. 847 area code, and texts. I love the text line. Can I say I love the text line? Our listeners are so interactive on this show. And even the dopey texts, even the hate-filled ones, I enjoy. I've learned to love the hate. 847 area code said the Tribune movie critic did not like Wicked 2. I don't even know who the Tribune movie critic is anymore.
Is it still Michael Phillips?
No. Didn't he retire?
He may have.
I think he did. No. But that's okay. I mean, you know, some people can like it and some, you know, this is a common thing. And this has pretty much been the case ever since I took over this movie reviewing thing from Roy Leonard 400 years ago. There are no right and wrong reviews. You know, I'll give my review, and that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I well remember him saying a review is an opinion.
It's just an opinion. It's just one person's opinion. And sadly, we live in this world now that you can't disagree with somebody without wanting to slam them and insult them and, you know, be nasty and mean. But people can have different opinions. It's perfectly okay. I didn't see the Tribune review on it, so I don't know exactly what the Tribune critic said, but I know that some people liked it better than others. That's perfectly fine. No big deal, right?
Hey, there were a lot of people that didn't like It's a Wonderful Life when it first came out.
Most people didn't like
it. In 1946. It was not a big hit.
Frank Capra lost $500,000 on that movie.
There you go.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he couldn't really fund his next project, and then when the copyright ran out between 74 and 94, that's when it became popular.
Yeah. Because that's
when it started showing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you could, without a copyright, you could run it on TV and not pay any licensing fees.
Correct.
It was free. And that's why, if you remember, back in the day, every station, every minute was playing It's a Wonderful Life. because they didn't have to pay for it. And then some lawyers got involved, and they copyrighted the music for the movie. And then suddenly there were copyright fees to be paid again.
And NBC, oh, so that's how they got around that.
That's how they got around
it. Aha. Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep. The 847 area code says, a young 12-year-old gal shares with me that at her grandma's house, there's a TV that they sometimes watch, and said, it's the kind of TV that you can't pause.
There's no remote that works with it, yeah. where you can pause and freeze the screen.
Can't rewind, can't pause. Right. Somebody of the 630 area code reminds us It's a Wonderful Life is Pope Leo's favorite movie.
That is correct. That and The Sound of Music.
Yeah, he listed his Leo's list of favorite movies. Let's see what else. What else? Someone needs to turn Dean's mic up.
Well, you're sitting right there at the controls.
It's where it always is. I think maybe you need to turn your radio up at home.
Maybe I've got mine up too high here.
Okay. Maybe I don't like the text line as
although
much as
I am looking at the modulation monitor here in the newsroom, brother, and we are within the proper parameters.
Brother, yeah, me too.
Okay.
Fine. If it's too low, turn it up. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for America's favorite, the one thing for which we all are truly thankful, the far-flung forecast. You may notice all of us here at the station are holding our protractors and newfangled devices.
You got to have a compass.
Compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices for our weekly look. Our weekly look at...
yes, it's
the far-flung forecast. I was just trying to decide.
Where are you?
I was trying to decide if there was anything else I could embellish with that.
Well, I think you went far enough.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
Here's
Dean.
The far-flung forecast.
And a happy early Thanksgiving
and
holiday to everyone.
Same to you.
In jail.
In jail.
Happy New Year to you.
And indeed, get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices. Today we go to Lakeville, Connecticut.
Ooh.
Lakeville, Connecticut, in the southern portion of New England, a beautiful area there. Lakeville, Connecticut has a population of 928.
Aww.
It is in the northwest sector or the northwest corner of the state.
I bet that would be a nice place to have Thanksgiving.
Oh, it'd be beautiful out there.
I bet it's very picturesque.
Sounds very Gilmore Girls.
Courier Knives,
yes.
Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls?
Yeah, Connecticut, yeah.
Get with it,
Joe. Oh, okay. All right. Who are the Gilmore Girls?
20 hasn't watched the new TV show since Three's Company.
He thinks the Gilmore Girls are the Andrews sisters. I think he's confusing them.
Yeah.
Maxine, is one of them named Maxine? The other one is...
He thinks those are the girls that danced with Andy and Barney.
Come on, doll.
The fun girls.
Come on, doll.
Hello, doll.
Doing a lot of voices today. Yes. Have you noticed?
And Bernie. Yeah. Hello, Bernie.
I'm Bernie.
Anyway, Lakeville, Connecticut has been around since... the 1800s. It is the location for a private school, a boarding school called the Hotchkiss School. And a little over 100 years ago, there was a young man there that was a student who became the publisher and the founder of Time Life magazine, Henry Luce, who actually was born in China to missionaries in China, but came to the U.S. to go to school in Lakeville, Connecticut at the Hotchkiss School. And it was on this date, however, that he and his colleagues formed Life magazine.
Oh.
And November 23rd, 1936, the first issue of the magazine was published. The way they kind of described it was they were already publishing Time magazine that would tell the news, this would show the news. Keep in mind, there was no TV yet.
Yeah, it was mostly pictures.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So Life magazine started on this date, and it was great in 1936. But Mr. Henry Luce went to school in Lakeville, Connecticut, which is 35 degrees now and cloudy skies going up to 40. No snow in the forecast for Thanksgiving.
It's 9:40, and this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the Weekend Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Dr. Santina Wheat, as always joining us from McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital, reporting live from O'Hare Airport, Dr. Wheat, is that right?
That is right. Good morning. How are you?
Give us the report, the early holiday travel report. How are things looking at O'Hare this morning?
It is certainly busier than when I'm normally here, but less busy than I anticipated, actually.
You got through security all right?
It looks okay.
No problems?
I got through. Absolutely. Got through without any problems. It's moving better than it was the past couple of weeks when things were slower. So
yes.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Good, 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 good. And I hope you're on your way to a little holiday rest and relaxation.
Oh, actually traveling for work. I get to celebrate the holiday at home. So I'm looking forward to coming back in 2 days.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, a lot of people are headed off, you know, for holiday travel already. Certainly they will be over the next few days. What kind of tips are you offering to people getting ready to do some holiday travel, medical-wise, health-wise? It can be a breeding ground for catching things.
Absolutely. I think that we have to remember that we are around people that we don't see all that much. And so if we have colds or are feeling sick ourselves, then maybe we should consider rethinking our plans and not spreading some of those viruses. But also, if you do go out, consider washing your hands all of the time, maybe extra, maybe some masking if that is what is right for you. And then really having thoughts about, is everybody vaccinated before they show up? Because we are seeing lots that is going around right now. We're starting to see flu. We've definitely been seeing pertussis. And of course, there's the typical pneumonias that we see in the winter as well. So taking all the prevention things.
Is it too late if you get your vaccinations, today, say, for example? It takes a while for everything to take effect. By the time you do your traveling and do your Thanksgiving and all that, have things taken effect by then?
It won't be for today, but I always feel like Thanksgiving is the beginning of all of the holiday season, and so it will still help you for those parties that happen in between Thanksgiving and the real winter holidays. So it's not too late for those, so it's a good time to consider it, particularly if you take a couple of days off.
Now, let me ask you this, because, and I'm on planes fairly often. I often see people get their sanitized, napkins out, whatever the... the alcohol things, and they're wiping down the seats, and they're wiping down the tray tables and wiping everything down. Is all of that necessary? Is that really a way that you can catch something?
I mean, I think it's a good idea. If you sit next to me, you'll see me doing it. I think that they are all high touch areas, and that is how we spread germs. And so I think it's not a bad idea as an extra layer of protection, maybe using those sanitizing things to also wipe down some of your own things like your phone or other things that you touch often and forget to clean. Mm. It is a good way to help stop the spread of the germs.
Okay. All right. I was doing it for a while, and then I felt like this is overkill. I mean, for a while, you might remember back in the day, at the beginning of COVID, we would wipe our groceries down when we brought them into the house. And then somebody said, well, you don't need to do that. That doesn't make any sense. So I got so lax about all of that stuff. Maybe not a terrible idea to go back to doing some of that. Not wiping down the cans and the packages, but when you're in high-touch areas, I guess. What about for Thanksgiving Day itself? I mean, people are going to enjoy a feast that day. Are there some do's and don'ts for relatively healthy eating for Thanksgiving?
Well, there's a couple of things to think about. One is a lot of people like to skip breakfast because they're going to have such a big meal. in the afternoon or early evening. And that actually can be counterintuitive. It can actually make things worse. So making sure that you are still getting a little bit of food in the morning, because then you won't overstuff yourself later on. It'll help your body stay stable, is a good idea. And then making sure that when you're eating, that the things that belong in the refrigerator go back in the refrigerator and are warmed up to the warmest temperature so that you don't get any sort of food poisoning. And remembering that there's always time for leftovers. So you don't have to eat everything that is on the Thanksgiving table. You can take some of it and enjoy it later in the weekend.
Yeah, portion control, right? I mean, that's
exactly.
That's what I try to do. I want a little taste of everything because there's so many traditional things that you have for Thanksgiving that are so tasty. You just don't have to pile it on like you're on death row, you know,
exactly.
trying to get something. All right. I don't want to, you know, put too much, pressure on people. People are going to do what they do for the holidays. Desserts. Are there certain kinds of desserts that are better than, others?
You know, I think that it's what you enjoy. I'm never somebody that tells my patients that you can't eat dessert. Again, it goes back to what you just said about the portion control. And just be like having fruit with your dessert is probably a good idea. And just not making your dessert your entire dinner. But a little bit is not going to hurt this time of year.
All right. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. But I was going to say the other thing that we think about for these holiday meals is sometimes the alcohol. And so also just being careful about how much alcohol you're drinking if you do drink.
All right. That's the only nagging that we'll do about eating for Thanksgiving. You're all going to be on your own. It's 9:47. We'll return with more with Dr. Santina Wheat. Get your calls and texts in as well. Questions, comments, 312-981-7200. And we come right back. 9:49 and the Week in Health continues with Dr. Santina Wheat live from O'Hare Airport. Really living the holiday traveler's experience, even though she's not traveling for the holiday. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. If you've got questions or comments, Dr. Wheat, the 925 area code says, is it true that as long as you don't touch your eye, nose, ear canals, or other mucous membranes, that you don't need to worry about scrubbing things down? Is that true?
It actually decreases the risk. It's a really good point. If you can avoid touching your mucous membranes, basically, so your mouth, your nose, your eyes, that helps a lot. But some of us do it really unintentionally, so it's still a good idea to make sure your hands are clean and that the high-touch areas near you are clean. So I wouldn't take it away, but it does help.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing, my thought about that is sometimes you don't even realize when you're touching your eyes, nose, you know,
exactly,
ear canals, whatever. Sometimes, you know, you're just, it's sort of second nature. You don't even realize it while you're doing that. So why take the chance? 847 area code says, does dressing warm equal not catching cold? You know, our parents always told us, dress up, you'll catch a cold. Is that true?
You know, it is not exactly true. And I was always told, don't go outside with wet hair. It is true that when you are colder, your body has to work harder. And so that maybe makes it a little bit easier for you to get viruses. But that is, it's really about just sort of taking care of yourself always. And so that will not prevent you from catching a cold.
Yeah, that's a lot of people feel that way, that if you catch a chill outside, for sure you're going to get a cold. But colds are spread through virus, not through the temperature outside.
Exactly. So if you're outside and you're cold and you're around somebody else that's sick, then yes, you will catch that cold, not if you're not around anyone.
All right. 414 area code, hello, Wisconsin, says, the old adage, eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, dinner like a pauper. Is that still valid? And that makes sense for Thanksgiving, kind of like what you just said.
It absolutely is still valid. It is still a good recommendation to have your biggest meals earlier in the day. And we didn't mention this before, but go for a walk after you have that meal, too. It'll help your body digest it and help you feel better in general.
I've been hearing and reading so many things lately about the benefits of simply taking a walk in general, but after a meal, and how much mm-hmm. health benefit there is to all of that. You go along with that.
Absolutely. And the best thing about it is it doesn't have to be you're going for a 45-minute walk. You can do several little 10-minute walks during the day, and it has huge impact on your health and in so many ways.
You alluded to briefly that there is a new flu strain that's going around right now. What do we know about that? What do we need to learn about that?
So we know that there's a new strain that we've seen in other countries. We saw it in Asia. Right now we are seeing it in Canada. And we're a little bit worried about it because as there are new strains, it means that flu can become more contagious. It's easier to get it. It's definitely a cause for concern, particularly right now as we're traveling. I'm sure we have some people that are traveling to Canada or have family members that are coming in from Canada, knowing that it's so close that we might see it moving here a bit more. The flu is still low right now in the U.S., but there's definitely some states where it's picking up, and travel is a time where we start to see it move to other states. So we might be seeing a lot more of it in Chicagoland soon.
Yeah, the 773 area code texted in, I just got my flu shot the other day and felt like I got hit by a truck. I think all of us sort of know that feeling after you get a flu shot. Is that always
Absolutely.
The case? Why is that happening?
It's not always the case, but what I tell my family is when that happens, it's a good sign that your body is using the vaccine and that it's working.
Oh.
Basically, that is your immune system revving up and getting used to what the antigens were from the vaccine. And so whenever I feel bad after I get a vaccine, I tell myself, yes, that's a good thing. That worked. And it's real. It means that your body is creating the defenses against whatever it was you were vaccinated for.
All right.
But yes, it is common to hear about for the flu.
Okay, good to hear. Suzanne, you're on WGN with Dr. Santina Wheat.
Hello. I'm calling from Florida, driving to the Orlando airport. And I love everything you're talking about with the hand sanitizers. But be careful because some of them have such a strong scent that it really affects other people around them. You have to be careful of the smell of it because it can be offensive to some people. And also, my dermatologist stayed in business the whole time during COVID because people had infections on their skin. Because once you use the sanitizer, you wipe off the protective coating on your skin to prevent you from germs. And so you're supposed to put moisturizer on your hands after you use hand sanitizer.
Mm.
That's just my comment.
Let's see what Dr. Wheat thinks about
sense?
All that. Yeah, Dr. Wheat, what do you think?
I 100% agree with you that the hand sanitizers, those also, they give me headaches. So I'm with those people that don't want using a whole lot of them around me. That's absolutely true. And it absolutely is a good idea to use the moisturizer afterwards. The hand sanitizers can dry out your skin 100%, and then you can get cracks in your skin, and so that is problematic. But yes, lotion and moisturizing your hands afterwards is a wonderful idea. Doesn't stop me from recommending that you wipe down the high touch areas, even if you do it with like gloves on or something so that you're not having that touch your skin.
Yeah, you can't beat good old soap and water. Sing
mm-hmm.
And you sing a happy birthday to you. I do that almost every time I wash my hands now to make sure I'm doing
it's a good idea
for such enough time. Suzanne, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Santina, pleasure listening to you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Dr. Wheat, safe travels to you.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. We will talk with you soon. Yeah. Thank you. Tony DeNardis filling in on sports today. Tony, this is the portion of the program where I act like I know what I'm talking about with sports. Tony, what do we expect to be happening today with the Bears and Steelers?
Well, we're hoping for the best. I mean, the Bears' defense is thin again. All our linebackers are out. Both of our two starting corners are out, Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon again. But good news, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing.
Now, what's the deal with that?
He's had a left wrist fracture. I think he broke it last week, and they were saying on ESPN today that it's basically a 3 to 6 week recovery for that, so it really didn't seem reasonable if you go by that logic that he was going to play. But it looked like he was frustrated when he took the field earlier today, and I guess that's why he knew he wasn't playing.
Baby. Schwanny's had a broken wrist for like 3 years now. He comes in every week.
Never missed a day.
Yeah.
Never missed a day.
Yeah, rain or sleet or broken wrist. We're at our appointed posts. And how about this special treat? Dave Ennett is in with Hamp and OB today.
He's back.
I saw him through walk by the window here. Didn't he just retire like 2 days ago or something?
Well, yeah, but he sounded great doing the Northwestern game yesterday.
He always does.
Yeah.
And because Andy, I don't know where Andy is. I can't keep track of Andy anymore.
Andy's out covering.
He's on the road doing basketball, I think, today.
Yep.
Oh. So he brings Dave Ennett back from retirement?
He is covering Northwestern basketball today. They're playing South Carolina.
Okay. Well, he'll be in with Hamp and OB coming up in a little while.
He meaning Dave, not Andy.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Ennett. And if we can find Steve Bertrand, we'll bring him back, too. We're bringing all the retirees back in there. Stick around there. Schwanny, as you know, normally I don't allow Christmas music on the show until after Thanksgiving.
No, more like the day after Christmas.
I'm old school that way. I don't allow that. But
you're not the only one, really. There are a number of people that don't put up decorations until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't do anything. I still have my 4th of July stuff up at home.
Still eating the half-priced Easter candy, are you also?
Still, I've got 2-3 chocolate bunnies left. The reason why I'm going to see White Christmas at the Paramount tonight. Irving Berlin's White Christmas out at the Paramount just opened. And I'm hearing that it's fantastic. I want to go check it out for myself. I'll give it a little review tomorrow. It's very similar. It's not exactly like the movie, but it's very similar to the movie. And, the Paramount, they always do such an amazing job with their holiday production. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm interested in hearing you talk about the differences between the movie and what you're going to see live, because I love the movie.
Yeah, the movie is one of my favorites for sure, but there are some songs which are not in the movie. There are some characters and some dialogue. I've seen the production of Irving Berlin's White Christmas in the past, but I haven't seen this production of it. It's similar enough that it'll bring back a million years. Million memories.
Million years?
Million memories. I'm still holding out, like for our Tree Time show next year, I would like to see you and I do the Sisters number.
Sisters.
Yeah. Schwanny and I'll come out with the big feather things, whatever they're called.
My favorite thing about that scene is Bing Crosby, when he starts cracking up, that was real. They just kept it in. He wasn't supposed to be laughing, but he thought it was too funny.
It is funny.
Yeah.
It's hilariously funny. And wait till you see the Schwanny and I version of it.
You won't be laughing.
Yeah.
That'll be an exclusive for WGN listeners.
You won't be laughing.
Yeah,
you know how we always have standing room only out of Tree Time? That'll be the 1 year we clear them out.
Yes, they will be leaving before the act is over.
We roll our pants legs up and first four rows are going to tear out and Lake Barrington to get out of there.
Be arrested. We'll be arrested.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'll be talking about that more tomorrow. I'll give you the review on that. And one of my favorite holiday productions in the Chicago area is It's a Wonderful Life Live in Chicago. It's where they do an old-time radio version of the classic movie. And every year we have the cast in and we have some fun with them. And we're going to do that in a couple of minutes. And Schwanny and I will do the Buffalo Gal once you come on tonight. This year, Schwanny and I are going to recreate as many inappropriate scenes as we possibly can.
We need to figure out a way to do the Andy Griffith Christmas episode.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a classic.
That's the good one. You know why I like it? Because...
Oh, Mr. Weaver.
The department
Ben Weaver, the crabby owner.
Because there's a mean guy, because there's a mean crabby guy.
Right.
And what do I love better than anything else in any production? A mean
crabby guy. Mean crabby guy, yes.
That's right.
I love his Christmas.
I love that. That's a fantastic episode, though. Do you get teary with that?
Yes, I do too. Especially when Aunt B hands over the plate of food. Even though he's in jail, he still gets a plate of food from Aunt B for Christmas. I'm done now.
Me too. I can't go on. One of the greatest of all time. It's a Wonderful Life. The Pope's favorite movie. Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. And here in Chicago, we have been lucky enough to have a stage version of It's a Wonderful Life. Believe it or not, for the last 24 years and going strong. It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago. It's just opened up. It'll be running pretty much through the end of December at American Blues Theater at 5627 North Lincoln Avenue. And it has been a bit of a tradition here on the show that we bring the cast in every year and have some fun. And guys, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great to see you all. We have on my left here, Mike Mahler, who is the announcer on the show and the musician on the show.
Yes.
And doing a special role today.
Yes, I get to fill in for some big, expensive shoes.
Some crabby shoes.
Yes, crabby.
Mr. Potter, that's right.
Keep it crabby.
As Mary Bailey on the show, Audrey Billings, welcome. Nice to have you back here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. And, of course, George Bailey, the richest man in town.
Mm. And Brandon Dahlquist is, also very rich in heart.
Yeah. Exactly. Welcome back. Dara Cameron plays Violet on the show. Dara, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you all here. And in charge of all the sound effects, the Foley, J.G. Smith, welcome back to you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Give us a little, what's that thunder that you have?
Oh, yes. I have a drum that has a spring attached to it, and when you shake it, it makes a thunder sound. Let me play it for you right now.
This could be the highlight of the whole show.
We'll keep it away from the mic. It's quite loud.
That's okay. That's all right.
You've never been born.
Chills.
Are those on Amazon? Because I got to get me one of them.
Actually, it is. I did get it on Amazon.
Of course, Amazon has everything. Oh, my gosh.
It's a Wonderful Life, brought to you by Jeff Bezos.
No kidding. Mike, I think you are the veteran of this bunch?
Yeah, I have been involved with the show now for 15 years.
Isn't that something?
And I don't look a day older than the day I started. It's amazing.
None of us do it. But that's only because our eyesight is also worse.
Exactly.
Yes. How do you reflect on the success? This is the second longest running holiday production in the Chicago area right now.
Yeah, it's
because
really,
it's good. Because it's really, really good.
I mean, I like to think so. Yeah, it's a timeless story. You know, Dean, it feels like every time we come back to tell this story again, it there's something new in it that's relevant, that speaks to today, and it's been really wonderful to see families come back year after year and they bring their kids and then their kids come back and then they bring their kids. I mean, it's a really wonderful part of the holiday season.
Yeah, it's nice. The Chicagoans like to do that. They like to latch on to some kind of holiday tradition. And Brandon and Audrey as George and Mary Bailey, you guys have also been doing it multiple years, right?
Yeah, this is 6 years for me.
And 9 for myself.
Wow. How about that? And so what about the evolution of this for you? I'm sure as actors, you want to breathe a little something new into it.
It's truly
probably every time you do it,
absolutely.
Right? Every performance, but right?
That's one of the best things about this for me is that each year you get to revisit a role that you connect to with the benefit of, wisdom and experience from your year. And, this show always brings something that I can connect to, and this year is no different. In fact, it's just
It's just very present, and we have it's really a special year.
And you didn't have kids when we started, right, Brandon?
No, 9 years ago, I was just a single young George. Now, now I've got all these kids running around my house.
Now you got two. Yeah, the family scene.
Play that piano all
you
night.
Know, exactly. That family scene is acting free. No acting involved.
Just channeling real life.
Remembering the morning, Dean.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that what's so beautiful about the story, and I think why it resonates with people year over year, and why they bring themselves and their family and their friends to the show, is because there's always a way in which it resonates with what's happening in the world. And I think that we all see ourselves in George and in his struggle and his joy. And I think when the world gets hard, this story lets you see that there's always light to be found in community. And I think that that's more important than ever.
Fortunately, there's nothing weird going on in the world
nothing
right
weird.
Now.
So I don't know why people would need that.
Stress-free world that we're living
things
in, right?
Things are great. Yeah. It's just a real normal time.
I do think, though, that this is one of those stories that if they had to put it into a capsule and give it to an alien race or to an AI computer, they would show It's a Wonderful Life about that is an example of humanity. Yeah. Mm. It is an example of kindness, and it is an example of community. And I think that is... Gosh, is that important right now?
Yeah.
So,
well, George is like deeply flawed, and I think that that's what makes him easy to relate to, is because he's not a perfect man. He's a man who struggles and is doing the best that he can for the people that he cares about. I think that's incredible, and I never get tired of that story.
Yeah, Dara, I know that you're also kind of a veteran of all of this as well. Mm. How do you reflect on the evolution of this particular production with American Blues Theater?
Yeah, this is my 13th year.
Wow.
It's my bat mitzvah year with the production.
Mazel tov.
So thank you. We're going to sing a Hanukkah song later to celebrate.
Nice.
But it's been, I think to zoom in a little for our theater company, for American Blues Theater, it's been such a, it started in a bar 24 years ago and has evolved as our company has evolved, as our ensemble has evolved and shifted. And we've, I think, been in six different spaces where we kind of had to keep reinventing ourselves. And for the last 3 years, we've been in our brand new home up on Lincoln Avenue. And it's the fact that we have settled into our brand new theater in this neighborhood in Chicago that has welcomed us with such open arms, it's such a gift to be a part of that community and then the Chicago theater community. We feel really privileged to get to be a part of this wonderful world that we, no matter what else is happening, we do always have each other. We always have this art that we get to make and this beautiful city that we live in.
Yeah,
so.
I love that you guys bring this to life every year and on stage. And now it's, it's like going to see the Marshall Field's windows or the Walnut Room. It is like such a part of Chicago now. Yeah. That's part of, I always have fun with you guys anyway, but I love it. But that's part of why I love this so much.
Yeah.
They are going to do some scenes and some songs when we come back from a break for the news. What have you, and you're going to do all the sound effects, right?
Yes, I am.
Explain the kinds of things that we're looking at, the kinds of things that you brought with you here this morning.
Well, I sort of have a mix of things that you might deem holiday appropriate with a mix of things that you might deem a little bit more mundane. I have, of course, I've got a beautiful, I've got myself a beautiful silver bell.
Nice, very nice.
I also have about 11 of them on a single line together.
Oh, that's festive. That's very festive.
I've got things that may seem a little funny, like carrying around a suitcase full of broken shards of ceramic.
What's
and
odd
pottery.
About that?
Well, nothing if you're an artist like me.
Yeah. how it all gets incorporated, you'll hear coming up after we check the news. It's a Wonderful Life Live in Chicago is at the American Blues Theater now through December the 28th. AmericanBluesTheater.com for more info and more with the cast when we come right back. The great Jimmy Stewart, the great Donna Reed, George and Mary Bailey, and the movie version of It's a Wonderful Life. The stage version has just opened at the American Blues Theater. It's a Wonderful Life, live in Chicago, that not only recreates the whole story, but really provides a whole night full of great entertainment. Audrey Billings is here, Derek Cameron, Brandon Dahlquist, Mike Mahler, J.G. Smith, whose parents are listening right now. We want to give them a big shout out as well. All the parents, to all the parents that are listening today, we love that. Mike, you're the kind of the musical director of this whole thing. Give us some of the embellishment that you add to an evening when someone comes to see the show.
Oh, yeah. We, like you said, we try to make it a full entertainment evening for the whole family. And one of the fun things about doing the show year after year is because we do it as a radio show, like it's the 1940s, you're listening in on a radio drama. We do different jingles every year for different kinds of companies that support the show and that donate to the show. So there's different restaurants that we highlight or different agencies and stuff like that. We even have one for the Dean Richards program, since you guys have been such great supporters all along.
Very flattered.
Yeah.
That you would include that.
And we do before the audience while they're coming in, we all gather around the piano and we sing carols and holiday songs to sort of set the mood. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of music involved.
Yeah, I wonder what one of those might sound like. If I were to imagine right now what one of those songs might sound like.
Well, we've got a special one that we like to do to highlight the Hanukkah season that we could play for you right now.
Great. Well, sure. Twist my arm. I know the year is getting late. I'm lighting the menorah and I'm counting up to eight. And I heard that there's a special day where boys and girls can spin a little dreidel made of clay. I'm having wicked dreams of Judah Maccabee and frying latkes up. I swear they're calling me. I'll make my bubby proud. She'll call me Bubba. She'll get me pairs of socks because it's Hanukkah. Oi, we're having fun. I'm a Hanukkah girl and I'm eating a ton of latkes. No, I can't eat only one. I'm a Hanukkah girl, so I might eat 100 latkes on this pink Hanukkah. I'm gonna spin my dreidel on this pink Hanukkah. I'm just a Shana Madel down in West Rogers Park. I'm gonna say oy vey till it's a pink Hanukkah, pink Hanukkah. I'm eating lots of gelt before it starts to melt, and I'll unnotch my belt, cause I'm no longer svelte. This whitefish dip is smelt, served with a side of spelt. My yarmulke is felt, now everybody belt. Oi, we're having fun. I'm a Hanukkah girl and I'm eating a ton of latkes. No, I can't eat only one. I'm a Hanukkah girl, so I might eat 100 latkes on this pink Hanukkah. I'm lighting my menorah on this pink Hanukkah. I'm singing Kanahora up in West Highland Park, rocking the whole North Shore on this pink Hanukkah. Pink everybody, pink Hanukkah. I'm gonna spin my dreidel on this pink Hanukkah. I'm just a Shana Madel down in West Rogers Park. I'm gonna say oy vey till it's a pink Hanukkah, pink Hanukkah.
Oh my God. gosh, that is so...
We're trying to make it a new Hanukkah classic with parody lyrics by Michael Mahler.
Oh my gosh, you wrote that, Mike?
I did the lyrics, yeah. I had a little bit of help from Chapel Row on the music.
That is fantastic.
There aren't enough great Hanukkah songs out there, so I keep asking my husband to write me some good ones.
Well,
so,
I think we've got us a pretty good one here.
It's a hit, right?
That is a pretty good one. I love when you guys come in and do scenes from the show. And Brandon and Audrey, you're going to do some of the a classic, right, from George and Mary Bailey?
I think it's the one that lingers the most with people when they think about the movie. Like, everybody thinks about Lassoing the Moon. You know, it's just such an iconic and lovely image. I think it's so romantic in a way that...
And earnest.
And earnest. Yeah, it's so wholesome. I just think it's so lovely.
Yeah, from It's a Wonderful Life, live in Chicago at American Blues Theater. Guys, take it away.
Hey, look where we are.
The old Granville House.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, no, don't you know about deserted houses? Well, you gotta make a wish, and then you throw a rock.
Oh, George, that place is so lovely. I wish I lived there.
What, in that place? Well, I wouldn't live there even as a ghost. Hey, now you watch this, Your Highness. Second floor, right above the parlor. Hot dog!
What's going on over there?
Wait, now who's that?
Oh, it's just old lady Collins. What you wish for, George?
Oh, not just one wish. A whole hatful, Mary. No, I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off of my feet, and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum, and then, yeah, well, I'll come back here and go to college, and I'll see what they know. And then, well, I'm going to build things, yeah? I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories tall. I'm going to build bridges a mile long, and then... What, are you going to throw one, too? See, Mary, that's pretty good. Well, now, hey, what did you wish for?
Oh, no, if I tell you, it might not come true.
Hey, come on now, Mary. Well, now, what do you want, huh? Do you want the moon, huh? Well, you just say the word, and I'll throw a lasso around it. I'll pull it down and give it to you.
I'll take it. And then what?
Well, then? Well, then you could swallow it, and it'd all dissolve, see? And then the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers, and your hair, and the ends of your toes, and... And am I talking too much?
Yes! Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
You want me to kiss her, huh?
I said...
I heard ya.
Youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Fantastic. I'm a little goosebumpy here. Yeah, it just brings back so many wonderful memories. Ooh. And you guys do this so well. How much are you influenced by the movie? Are you still at this point?
I watch every year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's, you know, I think capturing the time of it and the world, there's such a specific kind of tone to that era of cinema. And so I always watch it just so that I can like click back into the world.
Yeah.
And I think we always want to honor the story while not copying it, because we are who we are. We aren't Donna Reed and Jimmy Stewart, but I think our audience wants to hear the echoes of their memory of the movie, but we bring our own selves to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of words. Well, first of all, Wendy, our director, told me when I first started to stay away from the movie. Don't impersonate. Don't try to kind of too much like that, which is great advice. But I do feel like there are some words, of course, that just you can't say without kind of sounding like Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, right? So occasionally there's a word that I'm like, oh, that was a little too close to Mr. Stewart. But, you know. We're mindful of it.
You don't want to avoid it.
No, I mean, why would you?
You want
a little touch.
A little touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a little bit. 847 area code asks, Dean, how can I get a copy of the Hanukkah Girl song? It's awesome.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening.
Stay tuned.
I was going to say, there is no copy of it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, come see the show.
See the show, or if you happen to be recording this show, get your bootlegs out there.
There you go.
Right now, more with the cast of It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago when we come right back. 10:49, Dean Richards Sunday Morning on WGN. Hamp and OB with Dave Ennett filling in. today for Andy Mazur. That's coming up at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, we continue with the cast of It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago at the American Blues Theater, which is 5627 North Lincoln Avenue. It'll be playing through December the 28th, Wednesdays through Sundays, and super fun show. Their new theater. I was thinking it's like maybe a year or so at the new theater, but Mike, you're telling me 3 years now?
Yeah, this is our third year doing this show there. It's pretty cool. The fact that we get to do this in our home and not keep moving around town, yeah, asking our audiences to find us is pretty special.
Yeah, really nice theater, really nice area. Parking, there's easy to get in and out of this theater.
There's cup holders.
Oh, get out of here.
I know, yeah. We have everything.
Very nice lobby, great bar.
Yeah. It's a good restaurant area also. People like to go grab a bite before or after. Can't recommend this experience enough. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed, one of the things I like about It's Wonderful, like, period, is the Mr. Potter character. I'm not sure. Actually, I do know what it says about me. It frightens me, but he is my favorite character. And through the years, you guys have brought some great Mr. Potters in and allowed me even to do a Mr. Potter line or two, which I've stepped away from this year.
I don't want to get hear you.
Well, I don't want to get typecast.
Sure.
I think people think I'm grumpy enough as it is. Yeah. I don't need to do anything to reinforce. Yeah. I want this to be a representation of what you guys are doing. So, talk about famous scenes from It's a Wonderful Life. Mm. When Mr. Potter calls George Bailey into his office to offer him a job, one of the greatest ever, and in the role of Mr. Potter today, one Mr. Michael Mahler, along with Brandon as George Bailey. Guys, take it away.
Well, now, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is, you're the only man in town who's licked me. I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000? What, $20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, a couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I? You're not talking to somebody else around here, all right? But you know who I am, don't you? I'm George Bailey.
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, provided he has brains enough to climb aboard.
No, but what about the building and loan?
Oh, confound it, man. Are you afraid of success? I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
Now, Mr. Potter, I know I had a jump at the chance here, but I wonder if you might give me 24 hours to think about it?
Sure. You go home and talk to your wife.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
In the meantime, I'll draw up the papers, and once they're all signed, we'll set you up in an office right across the hall from me.
Right across the hall from you? Well, no. No. I know the answer right now, and it's no. No, doggone it. You sit here, and you spin your little web, and you think that the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. Why, in the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing more than a scurvy little spider.
I love it.
Dun, dun, dun.
That'll tell him.
Oh, God, I love it so much.
Stand up to him, George.
Yep,
I love it. In jail.
Yeah. In jail. There it is.
Had to throw it in there. You inspired me with your performance.
Well, next year we'll have you do Zuzu. How about that?
That would be nice.
We'll mix it up.
Very nice. To wrap things up, you got a little Christmas something for us?
Oh, of course we do.
The multi-talented Michael Mahler.
He does it all.
Winds whipping down Lakeshore Drive. It's all cold along Michigan Avenue. Hey, Dean, you know what time it is?
What time is it?
Oh, it's Christmas time. Better watch out. Better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why.
Why?
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. You better be good for goodness sake.
You better be good for goodness sake.
You better watch out, you better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Ho, 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 ho. That is so fantastic, yeah. You guys. Oh, thank you so much. Here's the 708 area code. Thank you for the great show today, what you guys are doing here. I'm buying my tickets now.
Woo-hoo!
So there you go.
We'll see you there.
Let me tell you how everyone else can buy your tickets today. AmericanBluesTheater.com or call 773-654-3103. It's a wonderful life live in Chicago running through December the 28th. This is one that you don't want to miss. Audrey, Dara, Brandon, Mike, JG, all the parents listening, thank you all for being here with us today. We really appreciate it. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.